Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. According to the standard modern historiography, the history of Europe may be divided into the three periods of ancient, medieval, and modern. In this scheme, the Greco-Roman culture of antiquity is considered the most advanced in history up to that time. In that time, men used reason to bring about the flourishing of art, literature, law, politics. Gradually, however, the Christian church grew from a persecuted minority to a dominant majority and subjected reason to faith. This suppression of free thought brought the end of the Greco-Roman age and the beginning of a new age. In this new age, the church gradually came to dominate men's hearts and minds, and in Western Europe, supreme authority would rest upon one man, the Pope. Later, there was a renaissance or rebirth of Greco-Roman culture. The Renaissance humanists regarded the preceding age to be one of ignorance and superstition because reason was bounded by faith. They regarded that time as dark ages. For centuries, Western Europe had followed St. Augustine in believing man to be dependent upon God's grace for help. But the Renaissance humanists were more optimistic about man's abilities independent of God. They looked past the Renaissance to a new era of freedom from faith. The Renaissance humanist Petrarch wrote, "My fate is to live among varied and confusing storms. But for you, perhaps, if as I hope and wish you will live long after me, there will follow a better age. This sleep of forgetfulness will not last forever. When the darkness has been dispersed, our descendants can come again in the former pure radiance." The Renaissance did lead to a new era, an era considered to be one of enlightenment, in which men left the darkened confines of the faith of the church and came into the light. There were then, in this scheme, three periods of European history: classical antiquity, the Dark Ages, and the Enlightenment. Such is the modern historiography. This is not the Christian view, however. In the Christian view of history, all of history is centered on the advent of Christ. There are but two ages: before Christ and after. On the Christian view, history is marked as either before Christ or Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Moreover, the era before Christ is considered to be one of ignorance and sin, and the era of Christ one of knowledge and virtue. In other words, the ages before Christ were the Dark Ages, and the age of Christ is the age of enlightenment. St. John wrote, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." This appears to be true physically, although it is perhaps beyond anyone's ability to explain how it is so. The scriptures characterize God as shining with the brightness of a sun. God appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. After Moses spoke with God at Mount Sinai, the skin of his face shone brightly. The prophet Ezekiel, in a vision, saw God on his throne, and he described God as surrounded by great light. He said, "And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When the Lord appeared to St. Paul on the road to Damascus, there shined round about him a light from heaven. So St. Paul described God as dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. The light of God is physical, and it is also intellectual. To know something is to be enlightened. It is to see a thing in its true light. To be ignorant of something is to be in the dark about it. It is to have that thing obscured, hidden from understanding. Darkness shrouds the truth, light reveals it. God knows all things, and nothing is hidden from him. Rather, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And a man is in the dark unless God reveals to him his own mind. God is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. A man can have no true understanding of things unless he sees them as God sees them. And a man can only see them that way by the light of God. So David writes in the Psalms, "For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light." St. Paul characterizes unbelievers as being in intellectual darkness, as having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Without the light of God, men grope in spiritual darkness. They are as blind men. St. Paul told the philosophers of Athens that although God is near to all and not far from anyone, unbelievers feebly feel about for him. Men are not excused for their blindness, however. Rather, they have put out their own eyes so that they may not see the light. They think they are wise, but they are in truth fools. What seems right to them is wrong, and what seems wrong, right. They even refuse to acknowledge God. Light is physical and intellectual, and it is also moral. Darkness symbolizes evil because a man would commit his evil deeds under the cover of darkness. He does not wish to be found out. As the Lord Jesus said, "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." A good man is perfectly happy to do his work in the daylight, for he has nothing to hide. God is perfectly good, so that he is the very standard of goodness. He does not shroud himself or his works in darkness. He makes them known to the world. Through the creation, he has revealed his eternal power and his divine nature to all men. He has revealed himself and his moral law. Apart from God, man is in moral darkness. He has no moral light within. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jesus said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness." And St. Paul wrote to Titus, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." Darkness is the antithesis of light. As Saint Augustine has taught us, darkness is not a thing in itself. It has no independent existence. It is but the absence of light. When God made the heavens and the earth was shrouded in darkness. God caused light to shine on the earth, and he saw that this light was good. So it is with knowledge and ignorance, and good and evil. Ignorance and evil are no created things. They have no existence in themselves. Ignorance is the absence of knowledge, and evil is the absence of good. So it is with God. He is the source of all knowledge, and he is goodness itself. Ignorance and evil are antithetical to him, as darkness is antithetical to light. Before God created the heavens and the earth, there was no ignorance. There was only God's knowledge. There was no evil. There was only God's goodness. Before the fall of man, Adam knew God and he obeyed him. When Adam sinned, mankind became ignorant and sinful. The unbeliever is willfully ignorant of the truth of God and obstinately sinful. He lives in both intellectual and moral darkness. He cannot, by his own efforts, receive the truth from God or change his ways any more than a blind man can make himself see. If an unbeliever is to see the light, then God must open his eyes. God must change his heart and his mind so that he will believe and understand. Before Christ, God had a covenant exclusive to the children of Israel with a few Gentile proselytes. The other nations God virtually ignored and allowed to go their own way. So, before the advent of Christ, Gentiles were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The scriptures characterize them as living in darkness. The Jews were little better off than the Gentiles, however, and in certain respects were worse off. Better off because they had the oracles of God. Worse off because they failed to believe them. They did not live in darkness as the Gentiles did, but they did live in blindness, unable to see light. God told Isaiah the prophet, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." All men, both Jew and Gentile, were in need of enlightenment. It was in this great darkness of ignorance and sin that God shined his greatest light, his Son, Jesus Christ. When Israel wandered in the wilderness, God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This was celebrated by the Feast of Tabernacles. In that feast, enormous candelabras were lighted to commemorate God's leading the people through the darkness of the wilderness with the pillar of fire. It was during this feast that Jesus proclaimed in the temple, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Just as the pillar of cloud and of fire guided the children of Israel through the wilderness to the promised land, so Jesus is that light to guide the entire world. After Jesus left the temple on that occasion, his disciples drew his attention to a man born blind. They asked him if the man had sinned or his parents, that he should be born blind. Jesus told them that neither was the case. He told them that the man was born blind so that God might glorify himself through him. He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus then healed the man of his blindness. Of course, Jesus' healing of the man's physical blindness was symbolic of his healing any man's spiritual blindness and moral blindness. After this episode, the Pharisees denounced Jesus. He replied to them, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." They asked Jesus, "Are we blind also?" He said to them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth. If a man will not admit that he lives in darkness, then that man must remain in darkness. If he will admit his blindness, then Jesus will give him sight." Shortly before Jesus' arrest and betrayal, he told the people that he would die. He told them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light." Although Jesus had done many miracles, many of the Jews did not believe in him. St. John writes that this is what Isaiah the prophet had in mind when he told the people, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." So Jesus cried out to the people, "I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." The unbeliever is in both intellectual and spiritual darkness, and he cannot see. God must open the eyes of his mind and of his heart. St. Paul wrote, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Those who believe in Jesus have true knowledge and true goodness. St. John summarized the gospel this way: "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. With God, everything is black or white. There is no middle ground. One is either for him or against him. One either believes in him or he does not. One either lives for him or he does not. If a man says he has fellowship with God, but he does not believe the truth, or he does not do what is right, then that man is a liar. If he says, as the Pharisees said, that he is no sinner, then that man has blinded himself to the truth, as the Pharisees had blinded themselves. If a man says he is no sinner, then he makes God a liar, for God has judged him by his holy law and found him guilty. If, however, a man admits his guilt, then God has promised to forgive him. If he believes God and obeys him, then that man is a true Christian in communion with other Christians, and his sins are forgiven. Many contemporary scholars have repudiated the Christian categories of before Christ and the year of our Lord. They employ rather the Jewish categories of before the Common Era and Common Era. Even so, they are compelled to reckon years in relation to the birth of Jesus Christ. It is he that has brought true enlightenment to mankind. It is he that delivers men from their intellectual and moral darkness. Saint John said of him, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Now unto the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.